to the Monarch Experience Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Ancona, and here at the Monarch Experience Podcast, we are giving students the platform to be able to voice their opinions about what matters to them. And today, we're going to fix your problems. You know, the world's got some problems. Society's got some problems. I think even right here in Memorial, we've got some problems. And Ben is here to solve those problems. He's going to fix your problems. He's going to fix you. He's going to make you a better person. But before we get to any of that, you know where to find us if you're following us on social media. It's the best way to, it's the best way to keep in touch with all the latest episodes, keep up to date on all the latest episodes, things that we've got going on. You can follow us on TikTok at MonarchXP. You can follow us on Twitter at TheMonarchXP, and you can add us on Snapchat, probably our most active social media account, at The Monarch Experience Podcast. And we're going to jump right into this, and we're going to introduce you to Ben. Ben, how are you?
I am good.
You are.
I am ready to solve people's problems.
You. This is going to be amazing. This is going to be kind of strange in the sense that for our listeners, like, you know, we really haven't done like a one-on-one episode like this that wasn't, well, I guess like this. So we've done another one-on-one episode where the person was really the selling point with Jagan Mosley, who was a former Memorial student, went on to play college basketball in Georgetown, coached by Patrick Ewing, the legendary Knicks player. And it was all about him and talking about him and catching up with him. And Ben, this episode is kind of doing the same thing.
Yeah.
We're talking to Ben. And Ben's going to fix all of our problems. So, Ben, you were on the Cobra Kai episode.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. You were insightful, deep, funny.
Go watch it if you haven't yet.
Go listen if you haven't already. Great plug for it. And you were like, hey, I want to do another episode.
Mm-hmm.
How did this thing come to be?
So I wanted to do another episode, and I didn't know what I wanted to do it on. So last Monday, I came to you and I said, let's do another podcast episode. And you were like, what do you want to do? So I thought the one last time I asked you, show me like a doc of all of the podcast ideas that you had. And then you just came to me, you're like, what are we going to do? I was like, I wasn't prepared for this. So I didn't really think of anything. And it was late. And I ended up getting yelled at that day for not being in PM homeroom.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, right.
Ben's going to fix your problems, but he also creates a lot of problems on his own.
I'm going to fix your problems. I also got to fix my own, though. So I was like, what do you want to do it on? And I didn't want to say, I don't know. So I was like, you know, I'm good at technology, like with doing it. Like if anyone submitted technology problems, you're getting a solution. You're getting one anyway.
And then that's kind of what like created it because you came, you had no idea and you didn't kind of just like walk off like, I don't know, I'll figure it out.
Almost did.
Like you almost did. But I was like, hey, like, well, what do you like? What are you good at? Like, what are some things? And when you said like fixing problems,
mm-hmm.
So let's solve some problems, dude.
All right. So I'm super excited.
So before we do this, what qualifies you to fix Memorial's problems?
Well,
like, why you?
Well, I think the answer to the second question is because I asked, let's do another podcast episode. And then you told me, you were like, how about we do Ben Solves Your Problems? So the real reason is because you suggested it, and I asked to do a podcast.
What I mean is, why do so many people have faith in you?
Right.
Before we even let anyone hear what these problems are, why do they have such blind faith in you? Who are you?
Right, I was getting to that.
Like, people are just like, oh, yeah, because we got some deep stuff on here.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I'm pumped.
Yeah, like, I want to know, maybe this isn't answerable. Why are so many people trusting you to fix their problems?
Probably because I am in my school. I am a known smart person.
You are.
Oh, Ben, he's smart.
Yeah, okay.
I am a known smart person.
Wow.
People don't know. People may not know like how I look. Oh, Ben, but I'd say 80% of people in the grade, oh, Ben Cushing, yeah, he's that smart one.
All right. Wow. Let's do it. All right. So the first question, what do you think is the best way to make a good impression on someone? I'm going to answer that one.
Okay.
Tickle them. You'll have your first impression where you'll be making them laugh.
I mean,
and they'll remember it forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But will it make a good impression?
Oh, I think absolutely, especially if they pee their pants.
That's an insane person, not a creative person.
Wait, I got answers now to who I am.
Yeah.
All right, so what would you do? You said apparently tickling someone is not a good first impression.
I really think it depends.
How do you think I got the job in Marlboro?
Well, I think it depends on what you're trying to do. Like, if you're trying to be a good impression, again, I'm in school, so this is what comes to my mind.
Yeah.
If you're trying to make a good impression to a teacher on the first day.
Tickle them.
Yeah, tickle them. you come up to them, right? You say, good morning.
Sneak attack tickle, or do you like let them know with like the tickle fingers?
You let them know.
Yeah, I think you got to be polite.
Yeah.
Right? It's the first day.
If it's the first day.
Yeah.
And just be polite.
Yeah.
And
I would like to tickle you.
Just be respectful. Get your work done.
Okay.
And something, if it's something you don't understand, ask questions.
Oh, yeah. I like asking questions.
And here's something. I'm just thinking about school right now.
Yeah.
So, because I'm obviously in school.
Yeah.
I did 7 hours of school today.
Oh, me too.
The thing that I think...
You make it sound like you just did time.
The thing that I think makes teachers think highly of you is if you take, optional things.
Sure.
Like, if you, if you're able to, come during, a flex time or something, or do a conference.
Yeah.
If you do that, you don't have to.
Yeah.
But you're doing it.
But I think it shows.
Because you, even if you get 80s and stuff, if I was a teacher, right, and I had this student who would always come ask questions and ask for extra help and try to make sure they understand everything, but they still got 80s and stuff, even though they wouldn't be the top of the class.
80s are great.
That's true. Even though they wouldn't be the top of the class, I'd still like them a lot.
You know why?
Because they care.
Yeah, they care. Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say. Because you care.
I think for anything.
You're invested.
Yeah. You want to be here.
You want to be. You want to do better. That's all that matters.
For anything. And I think.
I don't care how you guys do.
Your
grades don't matter.
Well, they did in marking period one.
Yeah, marking period one.
I think I think this makes me realize for anything, the key, show that you care.
Yeah.
Show that you want to be here.
Yeah.
You want to do what you want to do. And. You're good.
In anything, show that you care. I love that. I mean, look, I'm not going to remember you by your grades.
For a second, I thought you were just going to say, I'm not going to remember you.
I'm not going to remember you,
period. I was scared there for a minute.
I'm not going to remember you by your grades at all, ever. How am I going to know your grades? Why would I care?
I know my grades.
I'm going to remember you by, your personality, your effort, the conversations we have, your work ethic. Yeah, this, right? All of, the human connections. So it sounds like make a good impression on someone. Show them that you care.
Show them that you care.
About whatever it is that you're there for.
There's unique ways to do that for everything, and you're able to figure that out.
Ooh, first impression on someone. Okay, let's go. Let's go off script. There is no script, so let's go off script.
I was gonna say,
give you a couple scenarios when you're meeting someone for the first time, how to make a first impression with that same mentality of caring.
Well, let's say
I'm gonna give you a couple scenarios. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. So
because I couldn't think of them.
I'm buying time to think of them. First impression. First time you're meeting your girlfriend's parents.
Well, you obviously want to be a good partner.
Tickle them.
Yeah. Perfect. That's perfect.
Show them you care about their happiness.
Exactly.
Okay.
You obviously want to be a good partner.
Yeah.
So you don't want to do anything stupid. This is what I would do, but...
Like tickle them.
Yeah. You don't do anything stupid. I would probably overthink all my actions.
Sure.
Because here's the thing. I would overthink my actions.
You would overthink everything.
But don't make it so obvious that you're overthinking.
Okay. Tell them. I am not overthinking anything
Don't do that. If you're at their house, if you're at your girlfriend's or if you're at your partner's house, right? And you let's say they offer you a glass of water or something.
Take the water or no take the water?
Well, do what you want.
No. Is that a test?
What do you mean?
Is that a test?
It's not a test.
That's how I would test.
Do what you want.
That's how I would test them. I'd say, you want a glass of water? And they say, yes, sir. I'd be like, great. You're going to clean up the dishes then after, right?
Don't be like,
Or are you lazy? You're not going to clean up after yourself? Yeah. You're not good enough for my son or daughter. Out of my house.
Don't be so shy. Don't be like, no, thank you.
So demand a glass of water. Show up and say, damn it, get me a glass of water.
Or if you want, don't be like, no, thank you, or yes, please. Be assertive.
Be like, yeah.
No, not that. Be like,
you're going to get me that water. Yeah. You're going to
like that.
And then when they show up, you tell them, I want you to drink it.
Yeah. Be like, no, thank you. Just make sure you're calm.
Okay.
And a key thing that I think in social situations, especially here, because in this situation, you'd probably have a lot of pressure.
Sure.
Confidence.
Yeah.
The way you feel.
get the water yourself.
Well, no.
Not
that.
Confidence to be like, listen,
you
this
don't
is gonna
have
be
too much confidence.
You're gonna be selling this home to me down the line anyway when we put you in a
you
nursing home.
You don't
want to
have too much confidence.
Okay, make humble sure. brag. You want to be like, yeah. Hi, my name is Ben. I get 90s.
You want to feel
respectfully, sir. I get 90s.
You want to feel like if you have confidence, you feel like you're able to do something. Like make yourself think that you're able to do this. And you can.
Okay.
You can do this. It's going to be okay in the end.
Okay.
Even if you don't make a good first impression, you'll make a good second impression.
Yeah.
It'll be harder.
If they let you in the house again.
Well.
Yeah.
It'll be harder.
So another scenario. You are at a job interview.
That was.
We're going to totally go off script. Your soon to be potentially future boss, after the pleasantries of, hi, how are you? And you say, nervous as hell, asks you, would you like a glass of water? Do you take it or not? What kind of test is it?
I don't think it's a test.
It's a test.
What if I knew it was a test? So you're saying they would be like, hi, how are you? I'm good, how are you? This is a test. Would you like a glass of water?
Oh, no, you can tell. Everything. You're on an interview. The interview starts the moment you lock eyes.
Okay.
It doesn't start off the record.
Well, now you're making me overthink this.
Yeah.
I think I would say yes.
You take the water?
Because they're offering...
You make that person, him or her, get up and get you a thing of water?
No.
Oh.
They're offering me a service to make my life easier.
So you got
to
tip them then, don't you? You got to give them $1. Oh. It's a service.
They're offering me a service to make my life easier. So I'm going to be respectful and they're asking to help me, right? So I'm going to be respectful and I'm going to say, even if I could tell it's a test, of course.
Yeah.
Even if I
you're on a job interview,
even
a
if
test.
I absolutely do not want it, I would say, yes, please.
Yeah.
Because they are offering to help me. It's not, you could look at it the other way. Say they're offering to help you, show you don't need it, but they're offering to help you.
Oh, yeah, don't let them know that you don't need them, right? You do need them.
You do.
Yeah.
You have to show that you want their help,
and
you welcome their assistance.
You welcome their input.
Right, and it's also about caring.
And then leave a tip, obviously.
Because if you didn't care,
yeah,
you just say no.
Now, do you go 20% on the tip, or do you go 18%?
You go 0%.
0%.
Well, actually, it doesn't matter what you do, because you're not paying them to give you the water.
That's
so
true.
So no matter what tip you leave, it's
free.
Still going to be zero.
Oh,
so
I like it.
Whatever you want.
Funny story, actually. This is a real-life example that somehow was not planned but entered my brain. When I interviewed at Marlboro here, Dr. Gasworth, the former – I don't know if I should be saying this and recording this out into the world, but we'll see. That's not a bad story. So Dr. Gasworth was the superintendent at the time, and I – showed up into his office. I had a suit on, obviously, because, I want to be profesh. And
of course.
I was sweating profusely. And, I'm a sweater. So it doesn't take much. And it's the summer, too, because it's for the following school year. So it was July or... No, it was actually... it was May or June. And it's middle of the day. I'm wearing a suit, sweating like crazy. And I don't know if he asked because he saw that I was pathetically sweating. Or if it was just a polite, hey, can I get you anything? / test. And I remember going, I want to say no, but good God, I am so thirsty right now. And I remember weighing out both of them where I'm like, if I say no, does it look like I'm too good to ask for help? Or if I say yes, is he going to think who is this guy think he is asking for water?
Right.
I said yes.
I think you did
the
right
thing. And I chugged that thing.
Well, maybe.
I took sips.
But I think you did the right thing.
Yeah, I think so. I'm here, right?
Yeah.
So I think it worked out. So thanks, Dr. Gasworth, if you're out there listening. Appreciate you getting me that water. I was quite thirsty. And it was cold, too. That's what was really nice. That was a very nice touch. I should have left a tip. Right? It was
you
cold.
Did.
I did.
They didn't pay. You didn't pay them.
I left the tip of imparting knowledge upon the students of Marlboro for the last 12 years.
That wasn't a tip. That was what you're supposed to do.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. Oh, I guess I just...
You left the tip of doing the podcast. Mm. No one asked you to do the podcast,
that's
right?
That's true. I do this because I want to.
That's the tip.
Ah, I like it. We got from Justin Markham.
No idea who that is.
Me neither. That's kind of the fun part about
this. Yeah.
So Ben, Justin says, you come home and you find your dog has invited your friends over this morning and is cooking for them when you have to study for 3 tests the next day.
Kind of like me.
Do you enjoy the party or study?
This is kind of, it makes me speechless. I think what I would do is I would first question why my dog invited my friends over. If my dog was smart enough to do that, I think my dog would be smart enough to answer that question.
You're going to pull your dog away from the party?
Yeah.
To answer, okay.
And I think...
What kind of reaction are you hoping to get from your dog then?
Well, it really depends on what my dog says. Because if he's like, I didn't know you had a test, I'm sorry, then I would probably, like, I might enjoy the party for, like, a few hours, then kick him out. But if he knew, and it was, like, not, like, a mean thing, but, like, he knew I had a test and he did this as a joke.
Okay, so if your dog did it maliciously,
then I would kick them out.
You're kicking him out.
I'd say come over tomorrow.
Okay, you'd invite him back again.
Yeah.
All right.
That is a danger sign for the future.
Oh, yeah. All right. This one's from Maggie. She says, my literacy teacher has assigned me a literary analysis paragraph on Thursday or on Wednesday. Please give me a scope, Ben.
Those
literacy teachers.
Yeah,
huh?
I wonder who that literacy teacher is.
They're the worst with their stupid bald faces.
Yeah, right? So what I do to find scope is if I don't conference with my literacy teacher, if I can't, because most of the time I just get it from my literacy teacher. But if I don't, the scope for, like, the chapter, it's, like, the main thing that happens. Like, when you think of whatever the chapter is, what is the main thing that happens in it? What can you take away from it?
Sounds like you're getting the answers from him because you're finding them within yourself. Mm-hmm. Okay, who is the best rapper alive, and why is it DCB?
DCB is the best rapper alive because his songs are... Every song he makes is a work of art.
Work of art.
Is a work of art.
Like a Picasso painting.
Yeah, I think he edits them in GarageBand. And everyone starts somewhere.
Yeah, you know, I'm not laughing at GarageBand.
And...
You just know so much about DCB.
The school should have played Love Letter on that morning.
Ouch!
Yeah.
Wow.
And it probably got the most votes, too.
It did.
But whoever does the announcements was like, nah, screw DCB. We're not playing Love Letter.
For some reason, it's just not working. I know the artist who's been asking a lot.
DCB is undoubtedly the best rapper alive.
Wow. Maybe we'll have to drop in his song right here, right now. Should we do that?
Absolutely.
All right, then here it is.
Yeah, Sunday for the fans.
Little Curry on the track.
Old Spice smells nice. Probably tastes better than some rice. Shampoo can reduce lice. And grapes taste good. That ain't no falsehood. It makes up the universe. It's divine like some wine made of grapes. And sweet berry raised chicken sauce. It's a boss. It ain't a dross. And red made civilizations. It created nations. It tastes better than some mutations.
I'm thinking of converting to the grape church run by the grape juice pope. Should I go through with this?
So I don't know what the grape juice pope is.
I don't know what any of that means.
I would say because I think grape juice tastes good.
Okay.
You're probably in for something that's worthwhile if you do this. So The answer is yes.
Okay.
You should do it.
Grape juice is good.
Yeah.
So why not?
Yeah, exactly.
How could you be misled by a guy named Grape Juice Pope?
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. I would mm-hmm. I would trust him. What do I do when my Old Spice runs out?
Okay. So if your Old Spice runs out, all you got to do, get some more.
Obviously. What? These are all the same questions from the same person, by the way. I'm sure you can figure that out. This is Yash. What do I do when the sweet baby Ray's chicken sauce gets into my gaming console and makes it stop working?
Okay, I don't even know what that is.
Sweet baby Ray's is barbecue sauce.
Oh, it's an actual. I thought you just made it up.
No, you've seen sweet baby Ray's.
I have not.
Oh, yeah, you have.
Sweet baby Ray's. So if it gets into your gaming console and breaks it, then clean it out and...
It's sticky, though.
Well, clean it out anyway.
How?
With, like, a stick repellent.
Stick repellent?
Yeah, it's something
I thought it was something that was going to keep sticks from bothering
you. Well, no, like sticky. Stick repellent. Yeah, that.
Yeah, you've seen them.
It's something...
So stick repellent.
It's
okay.
Something that, like, reduces how sticky it is.
Okay.
You take that... You get it out of your console, and then if your console works, obviously you use it.
Okay.
If your console doesn't work, then go buy an Xbox Series X.
I would think the better way would be to use a fork when you're eating. Last question from Yash. What should my last words be before I pass?
Okay. Your last words should be four words. First one is Ben.
Okay.
Second one is... Third one is the, and fourth one is best.
Okay.
Ben is the best.
And then just die.
Yep.
Okay.
Like you're at your deathbed, and you say to your family, "Oh, I don't think I'm gonna live anymore. I'm gonna die. Ben is the best."
And then it's it.
Yep. Gone.
All right. My friend has really small hands, which prevents him from gripping his mouse in a comfortable position when gaming. What should he do? This is Theo who's asking.
Okay. So if your friend... Okay, so here's the easy answer. Game on a console.
Okay.
Because you don't... Because I know I'm going to... Like, that's a very controversial statement because a lot of people enjoy gaming on PC. I am not one of them. I am a proud... And yeah, go yell at me. I am a proud console gamer.
Yeah, yeah,
but
me too.
But if you are... If you do play on PC, then...
How small are his hands that they can't fit on a mouse?
Yeah.
Oh,
like,
dude,
get a small mouse. Get like a...
Or just get bigger hands.
Well, if you can't get bigger hands, obviously.
They are hard to come by, right?
Yeah.
Gas prices are going up. Large hand prices are going up, too. Yeah.
I think it would be easier if you just get a small mouse that can fit your tiny hands.
Speaking of mice.
Or just go to console.
Or speaking of mice, you know Mickey Mouse has the white gloves?
Yeah.
Get white gloves like that.
I thought fill that
them,
too.
Fill them up with like cotton.
Oh, that would work.
Now your hands look bigger.
You don't get as much control.
Next question is from Hank.
Is it him?
Why are bananas?
He's probably talking about him.
Why are bananas curved? / Why do they not be straight though?
Okay, so there's probably a real scientific answer to this, which I just don't know. So,
aren't plantains straight?
No.
No.
Some bananas like are straight though.
Yeah,
like I eat a lot of bananas, and sometimes
I had
they
a banana today
straight.
After lunch.
Sometimes they're like really curved, but sometimes they're just straight.
Why are they curved?
Like there's probably a real scientific answer to it that I just don't know.
We want a Ben
but
answer,
I think,
not science.
Yeah. Here's the Ben answer.
Yeah, Ben answer.
Bananas are representations of emotion because they're curved enough they make a smiley face. You put it up, to your mouth, and you get. And you put it up to your mouth if you're happy. And if you're sad...
You just flip it over. Yeah. Wow. And I think this was because originally, before monkeys had emotions, they had to let their tribe know how they were feeling, and they did it with bananas.
Mm-hmm.
And then bananas evolved to be curved in that way.
They were curved because they knew monkeys use them to represent emotion.
Yeah, makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Look at me. I'm learning.
Maybe that is the scientific answer.
It sounds like science to me.
Yeah.
My friend Theo keeps getting haircuts. How do I make him stop?
Okay, so if you make him stop by, you have to like threaten him with something. Like you should go home and break his, you should say, I'm going to go home and break your gaming PC if you stop getting, if you don't stop getting haircuts.
Okay.
Because like he's getting, he's going to be bald at this point. Like already.
We wouldn't want that.
Yeah, already. He's so close to being bald. Like I can't, I just can't imagine his hair being so long.
Mm. So wait, this person doesn't want Theodore to get a haircut.
Right.
So
they want his hair to be long.
Right. Oh, he should stop that.
He needs to accept Theo for who he is.
I agree. Or Theo should just, dude, grow your hair long.
Yeah.
For your friend. What kind of friend are you?
Yeah.
If you're not willing to make yourself change your physical appearance for a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Obviously, this is not real advice, people. Someone's going to email me. I changed everything about me for you, Mr. Ancona.
Someone's going to be like, Ben thinks Theo's hair is shorter.
My diet, this is from Simran. My dire dilemma, nice word choice, Simran, for Ben to solve is that my dog despises me. However, he absolutely adores my brother. My dog's name is Spike, and I do everything for him. He growls at me whenever he sees me, but the moment my brother walks in, he stands up and wags his tail. My brother doesn't even do anything for him. I need immediate help. What should I do? Thank you, and have a great day.
You too, Simran.
Well, look at that.
If
very polite.
Okay, so if the dog, you do everything for your dog, but your dog is upset with you.
Mm-hmm.
Your brother walks in and does nothing, and the dog's happy. So why don't you reverse that? Make your brother do everything for the dog. And then the dog is going to hate the brother.
I thought you were saying reverse it. Do everything for your brother.
No.
Just work for your brother's affection.
No.
Your dog's never going to love you, Simran. I'm sorry. Just work for your brother's affection and you could be happy that way. That's not what you're saying.
No. Make the brother do everything for the dog.
Okay.
Then your dog is going to hate your brother, meaning that you, your dog, is going to love you.
You're really doubling down on this because the dog may then, Spike, may then hate Simran even more and be like, see, you don't do anything for me.
But he did.
Yeah, and it didn't work.
But he did do any. It's not like you don't do anything for me. So it's now you don't do anything for me anymore.
Well, so now he's going to expect that he's going to do less and get more love. It's not how the world works, Simran.
But it's how Spike's mind works, obviously.
Well, Spike obviously does not sound like he's very intelligent.
No.
Now, what kind of dog is this, Simran? Oh, wait. You can't respond. Simran, email me. I want to know what kind of dog this is that you're doing everything. Simran, my solution to this would be, well, it's not a solution. It's a question. Did your brother get the dog or did you get the dog? Because it sounds like your brother is the alpha and your dog, that's why. Next one's from Nika. She's asking, would Lightning McQueen buy car insurance or life insurance?
Okay, so I actually used to watch the Cars movies all the time.
Okay.
So I am a big fan of Lightning McQueen. He would buy life insurance.
Okay.
Because car insurance is if your car breaks down, you get another car.
He doesn't have a car.
He is a car.
Yeah.
So the car insurance wouldn't really be so helpful. The life insurance.
Sorry, you died. We'll get you another car.
Yeah, exactly. they're kind of the same thing.
All right. Why did same listener? Why did Cinderella's slipper fall off if it fit perfectly?
Okay, this is embarrassing. I have no idea what she's talking about.
What? You never watched Cinderella?
Nope.
It sucks.
Good.
It sucks.
Good.
Yeah. Sorry. Sorry, Nika. We're not going to even answer your question.
I guess I'm lucky.
We're just going to say, what a crappy movie.
I guess I'm lucky, but Cinderella's slipper fell off.
Do you know the premise?
Nope.
It's trash. Just imagine a garbage. All right? That's what Cinderella's plot is. And if you want, I'm thinking of Sleeping Beauty. Sleeping Beauty is trash. Cinderella is not bad. I take it back. So Cinderella is, she's like the ugly stepchild with her multiple sisters. And then I think a rat Like, they're living in really horrible conditions, obviously, that there's rats just, like, everywhere. The rat talks to her or something, or her fairy godmother. I don't know. Something like this. Anyway, she becomes a princess for a night, right? She goes to the ball. She meets this really handsome dude. Obviously, the wish that she got, there's, like, a clause in there where she has to be home by midnight. Otherwise, she turns into – her carriage turns back into a pumpkin. So – the clock strikes midnight. She starts running to leave because she's terrible at time management, obviously. And the slipper falls off. And then because she goes back and turns back into the servant that she is, and like the, you know, nobody likes her, nobody knows her, the prince, the only thing he has left after this magical date is that slipper that had fallen off. And he goes around town and basically starts trying on the slipper on everyone to see whose foot it fits perfectly. Everyone's vying for him because he's a prince. But then he finds Cinderella. Nah, it can't be hers. And it fits perfectly.
Oh.
How does it fit perfectly if it fell right off?
Well, it probably fell right off because her foot grew bigger when she was a princess.
They do have large feet, princesses.
Yes.
Historically accurate.
Yeah, yeah. And then so when she became like a servant, her foot grew small. Her foot grew bigger and the slipper didn't fit. And then her foot grew smaller and it did fit.
I think...
That's a really dumb answer.
I think it's because she was dancing a lot, right? So because she was dancing a lot, I got nothing. Walt Disney, how could you not think this through? Plot holes.
Tell that to my mom.
Where is the line between insanity and creativity?
Well, I think those are two... completely different things. The line between insanity and creativity.
Yeah, what's the difference between an insane person and a creative person?
A creative person is basically a smart person who thinks of things, does things, draws things that people have not done, seen, or thought of before. An insane person is people who do the same thing minus the thinking part. Like, they just don't think about their actions.
Okay.
Maybe they do things that people... I guess they are kind of similar.
You sound like you just convinced yourself.
I know. Maybe they do things that are similar, but they don't regard, like... They just don't think about it.
Are insane people creative, or are creative people insane?
Creative people are not...
Is this like squares and rectangles?
Right. I think creative people are not insane. Insane people... Maybe some of the things they do are creative, but maybe some of them they saw on a really dumb TV show. They're just like, let's see what happens if I do that in real life.
All right.
And that's obviously not creative.
Okay. These get a little deep. Is a deed really good or bad, and are those words subjective?
Well, good and bad are subjective.
Okay.
Easily.
How so?
Well, because you might think, like... The way I see it, the first thing comes to my head because I'm in school and I went to school, grades.
Okay.
If I get like an 80, someone who studies a lot and puts a lot of time into their schoolwork might be like, dude, you failed. What happened?
Yeah.
Whereas someone who just doesn't care at all and gets like 60s, that's really good.
Yeah. Or someone who's struggling with it and then works hard toward it is like, I got an 80. That's a good grade.
Exactly.
I one time said, somebody's like, how'd I do? I'm like, oh, you did awesome. You got a 95. They're like, I am a failure. I'm like, dude, really? Like, yes, my parents will disown me. Wow, those are really tough standards to live by.
I think a 95 is a good grade.
Yeah.
I'd be proud of a 95. Right? Well, depending on what it is.
I'd be proud of a 95 either way.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's like, how well do you know yourself?
Yeah.
There's nothing else that I'd be disappointed in getting a 95.
So good and bad are subjective.
Okay.
A good deed... A deed is defined as, like, an action.
Yeah.
Something that you do.
Mm-hmm.
According to what we just said, a good deed is something that you do that benefits someone. Uh-huh. Makes something better. Like, if you're kind to someone.
What's better?
You make them feel better.
What if you're kind to an insane person and you give them cause to do their crazy thing?
Well, then you're taking the high road, but it's not working out for you.
No, it's not. Okay.
But if you're kind to an insane person and you motivate them, nothing you can do about that. You're being a nice person, so why are you to blame?
All right.
But a deed is defined as an action. So the way I see it is the question is asking, is an action a good action or a bad action?
Yeah.
Which, too, I think the answer is yes. If there's if you do something that's helpful, that's kind, that makes someone feel better, it's a good deed.
Okay.
If you do something that's the opposite of any of those things, if it's mean, if it's harmful, if it makes something worse, any of those, then it's a bad deed. I mean, you wouldn't call it a bad deed, but that's kind of what it is.
And if the effect is bad, then the deed is maybe still good, just not the desired outcome.
Well, if you say that, you really think it might depend on your intent.
Okay.
What you want, what you want out of it. So, like, if you do something that ends up being really bad and you mean to inflict harm,
okay,
that's a bad deed.
Okay. Your intent is wrong.
Right. If you have good intent, but something doesn't turn out exactly the way you want it to, it's still a bad deed. You still did. I know you didn't mean to.
It doesn't matter. They're bad deeds.
I know you didn't mean to do it, but it's still, like, it still didn't work out.
You're
in your
a
favor.
Bad person.
It's still, thanks.
It was not you, Ben.
It was.
Wait, so Ben, you're telling me basically, if you do something with good intentions and it comes out bad, you're bad. If you do something with bad intentions and you're bad, you're bad.
I didn't say that. I said if you do something with good intentions that comes out bad, it is a bad deed.
Okay.
I know you didn't mean it. I'm not saying you're a failure or you're a horrible person.
Okay.
I know you didn't mean it. That doesn't mean it was a good thing.
Mr. Deeds.
What?
Good or bad movie?
What's Mr. Deeds?
You never seen Mr. Deeds, Adam
never
Sandler?
Never heard of Mr. Deeds.
Oh, my goodness. All right. That's all for part one of Ben solving the world's problems. Be sure to tune in for part two, where we'll have plenty more of your questions, plenty more of your problems, and a lot more hilarity to ensue. But until then, stay safe, stay hungry.